The Lord helping us, I would direct your prayerful attention to the book of the Revelation, chapter 17, and the last part of the 14th verse. The book of the Revelation, chapter 17, and the last part of the 14th verse. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. The 14th verse reads, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." There is much of this remarkable book which is difficult to understand unless the Spirit of Truth is pleased to indeed bring about a revelation in our spirit and upon our soul. But there are those things which the good Apostle John had a wondrous view of, which is abundantly simple. He was instructed by the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in our chapter, in the first chapter, to write to the seven churches and to write what he saw. "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Those things which make this the book of the Revelation. And in our second reading, there were, of course, that wondrous revelation that he had of heaven. And those favoured souls, those blessed characters, who were there? Who were there? That was a finished people, there was a complete people. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongue, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." That was the complete work, the finished work, the Church of Christ, complete to every person, every soul, was in glory with Christ. Now that is simple. And that's a simple revelation, that's a wondrous revelation. And dear John was able to see it and leave it on record. Those who had reached their eternal abode, that had been delivered from the pathway of affliction or evil and wickedness, those that had been saved with an eternal salvation. And the question was asked of these, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, or whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." Blessed people, their tribulations finished, their wilderness journeys over, their opposition silenced for eternity, and are safe home. How did they get there? How did they get there? "And they that are with him are called." And whilst in this wilderness journey, they were the subjects of a calling. And a wondrous calling it is. So the Lord help us to look for a few moments this morning at this all-important blessing, of which every one of Christ's are the subject of. And the work of the Holy Spirit in calling, these characters out of nature's darkness and to establish them and to fight and to bring them to the place where they shall be numbered in an open way amongst the people and children of God. And my friends, this is the blessing. You may be weary in prayer, you may be tried over this matter, you may have many doubts and fears, you may have many great temptations, but this is the blessing to those that are called and they that are with him. And him is Jesus Christ. And the place is heaven, and they shall go no more out. Oh, may there be those that are, that labour under temptation or under doubt this day, that shall see their doubts and their temptations melt away when the Lord, by the Spirit of God, enables them to trace the calling, and they that are with him are called. And we want to look, as the Lord will help us then, at some of these callings and the descriptions of these callings. Well, without turning the scriptures too much, I notice in the second epistle of Paul to Timothy this word, in the first chapter, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. It's not turning to religion, my friends, that's the all-important. It's not Reformation, of which so many speak about today. Reformation, they say, leave this behind. Don't do this anymore. My friends, you can do all that and be lost. But it is this which is the all-important matter. If the Lord may help us to trace the calling, and the calling is a holy calling, and it is the work of the Holy Ghost, they that are with him are called. There isn't anything of doubtful nature, you know, in God's work. No doubtful nature. No, who can tell? We may be brought, some of us have to be brought to the place where we hope there's a calling, and we hope calling. But the word doesn't say that in doubtful terms. They that are with him are called. And God, the Holy Spirit, calls them with a holy calling. But it is also an effectual calling. And my friends, none that are under this calling can ever have any doubt as to the authority. And I say that very carefully. You may say, well, you don't know my temptations or my fears. Well, you don't know mine either. But my friends, there is an effectual calling. There is a calling with the authority of God in it. And the effect of that calling and the authority of the voice that called brings a soul into the knowledge of light and understanding of life eternal. They that are with him are called. Now, we sang in our first hymn something like this. His love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. Determined to save, he watched all my path. When Satan's blind slave, I sported with death. Is the psalm that has not made an open profession of the name of Jesus, that has in their heart that hope, that belief, that realization of some knowledge of the truth of these good words of John Newton, that there was a day when The Lord put his hand to a work that you couldn't stop. You might have determined to do what you want, go where you want, be found where you would. You might find the world then was your home and your delight, and the things of this time stayed all you wanted. But there was a divine intervention, and that's the calling. They that are with him are called. And what was the purpose and what was the foundation truth of the calling? We said it was a holy calling. It is an effectual calling. But my friends, it has this in it. This wondrous ingredient, if I may so simply put it. And that's love. That's what's in this calling. His love in time past forbids me to think. He'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. And my friends, that's what's the foundation of the calling of every one of the Church of Christ out of nature's darkness. And it is because there was a love placed upon them for all eternity, in eternity past. They that are with them are called, they are the subjects of this love. And I tell you something else, it's so effectual, is this calling. It is so powerful, it is so effectual in this respect. You have to say it respecting the calling. You can say it respecting your own soul, but you may be able to say it in respect of others, determined to say. Oh, it is effectual. Determined to save. You know, when Israel came out of Goshen, and when they travelled the wilderness to Canaan, it was said of them, not a hoof shall be left behind. Not a hoof. All will come safe to Canaan. And so it applies in more greater measure than to the Church of God, the spiritual Israel of God. Not a hoof shall be left behind. And the choice was God's. And the motive in it all was love. They that are with him are called. And you may say, well, what else? What else about this calling that makes it effectual, that makes it a holy calling, that has the authority of God on it? It is this. Glory to God, they ne'er shall roam beyond the limits of his love, fenced by Jehovah's shells and wills, firm as the everlasting hills. If you've got a soul in your heart that the Lord put there, if you've got a person, a son, a daughter, someone else's sons or daughters that God's put in your heart to pray over, you watch over that person day and night in your prayers and supplications. You see them and you seek to see evidences of your prayers being answered. If God's put them in your heart, the day will come when you shall joy and rejoice with them. I and the children, Jesus said in prophecy, I and the children which thou hast given me, they that are with him are called. But who are these characters are called? We shall speak again of the effectualness of this call. And the power of it. But who are these that are called? Do they merit it? Have you got any grain of merit? Can you see any grain of merit in the call? Been much with me of late. I thought of those two words, which really one must look at one day, as it respects the salvation of the Church of Christ. And it's this, it's mercy or merit. And a lot of people hold much gain and strength and speak much of merit. And they look to their upright walk and their pathway and all their devotions, their prayers, their readings, their attendances on the Lord's house and all that sort of thing. Now that's merit. My friends, I pray the Lord that he will keep his people faithful, and indeed keep those that attend the house of God loyal to the house of God. But the the calling, they deserve with him are called, is an act of mercy. Is one of the greatest acts of mercy that God ever showed this world of sin and woe. Because who are these that are called? Well, we just read in the 7th chapter, who are these and whence came they? Well, they had one thing in common, my friends. They may have been rich, some of them. They may have been poor. They may have been black, or they may have been white. But they had one thing which was common. They were fallen sinners. They were the subjects of the Adam fall. They were the offspring of Adam, our first parent, the representative in Eden, who fell. And all his posterity was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. They had one thing in common. Then they were fallen, wretched, vile, lost, ruined sinners. And you know, you can't paint a sinner black enough, my friends. That won't offend me if you call me the worst of sinners, because I am, by the knowledge of the sins of my heart. But you can't. It's no good standing back and say, well, they're not as bad as some people are. All have sinned, the word of God tells us, and come short of the glory of God. And when it comes to the broken law, if we have broken it in one point, we've broke it in all. And so we each deserve total condemnation. But amongst those who fell in Adam was a people for whom Christ died for. The gospel's preached in the 3rd of Genesis. The promise of Christ. Now, the promise of Christ was for the salvation of the church of Christ, for the salvation of these that shall in time know what it is to be the subjects of a holy calling, subjects of an effectual calling. Now, let me come back to the effectual calling, or the authority of the calling, and the effect and the power of it in one's own very soul. Now, I can only speak to those here who have made an open profession of the name of Christ in this one respect. Although we can, I trust the Lord has got those in this house of God who have not yet made an open profession, who know something of the calling. Let me take you back a few years in your life, when you sat under the truth and you was in attendance on the house of God and you heard the ministry of the word of truth, and it was faithful and it had no effect. It went in one ear and out the other. Now, that's what it is to be dead in trespasses and sins, my friends. You can sometimes be moved by emotion when you hear this spoke about or something else, and if the man in the pulpit starts to preach about providential religions, well, you might be moved in your own heart of the Lord's goodness and mercy in providence. But as to being a sinner in your own sight and the knowledge of it, you just went on in your own careless way, indifferent, unconcerned. In eternity was something that was preached about, didn't bother you. Death was something that happened to other people, and it didn't trouble you. They that are with him are called. But then, do you mind the place, the spot of ground, where Jesus did thee meet? When the word then entered into not your ears only, but into your heart. You may have heard me say it before, but from the age of 17 I worshipped at Hanover, if that was what it was called, worship. And we used to have 938 sung so often that we got tired of it. Well, I got tired of it. And the words of 938 was this: when thou, my righteous judge, shall come to take thy ransom people home, shall I among them stand. Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at God's right hand? And so we got tired of that hymn. But there came a day, my friends, when that was the essence of my prayer, because I believed there was a calling. There was something done in my soul, and I was a guilty, helpless sinner. And those words of that hymn writer was what I used to pray before the Lord. That didn't trouble me, that didn't bring me into opposition to the hymn then. That was the words of my petitions. What else so it shall be, whatever the Lord is, and however the Lord is pleased to call his people, when he calls, there's an effect. You might be as far in the world as it's possible to get. You might have made all sorts of promises never to come to God's house anymore, and sit under that gospel and hear those words and listen to those hymns or anything like that. You may have made all the promises in the world, but God puts forth the hand of mercy, the hand of love, and God puts forth the calling, and it's effectual. And it has this effect: it causes to be a stop made in the career, the pathway, the walk that you've come thus far. There are, of course, outstanding cases in the Word of Truth that we can always refer to. And we would not be amiss, because the Word is our guide and it is also our encouragement. The dying thief is one such character who was on the borders of eternity, having lived a life of sin and iniquity, and now condemned to die, justified the law of the land. He said, "We indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds." Oh, he didn't find fault with the sentence, because he then was a living soul. He was called. He had eternity. He was on the borders of death, but he showed the evidence of the call in the prayer that he laid before the Lord Jesus Christ. "They that are with him are called." We could have read the 9th of Acts and saw the calling of Saul of Tarsus. That was an effectual calling. It brought him to be a servant of God in a moment. In a moment. Not for him the long wait for the exercise of the ministry or the fulfilling of that exercise. No such thing. He became a servant of God as he fell at the feet of Christ. And he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That's the words of a servant. They that are called. But my friends, leaving aside for a moment the witness of the scriptures of truth, just for a moment, leave them aside. Look into your own hearts to see the effect. Trace the calling. There's nothing more important than to trace the calling. One of our hymns says, "Glory to God, they ne'er shall roam beyond the limits of his love." They won't, you know, not one that is Christ's. They won't roam beyond the limits of his love. They might come in experience in the teaching of the Holy Spirit, as David the psalmist did when he said, "From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." They that are with him are called. And it is God that calls. It's God the Holy Spirit that calls. It's the soul that hears. And life is imparted to the soul. You know, in prophecy in Isaiah, respecting the coming of Christ, we read these words, that the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And so it is by the calling, my friends. You were content with the darkness. You was indifferent. In fact, you didn't know there was a darkness. You was a sinner, not in your own eyes, but in God's eyes. And the world was your home and all your delight, until the Lord put forth the hand of love and called you. They that are with him are called, and are called out of nature's darkness, and are called into fellowship of the Church of Christ. They now carry about a living soul. They now have within them another nature that wasn't there at birth. And that other nature, and that old nature is often at warfare one with another. The new nature of grace is after Christ. The old nature of sin is for this world of sin and woe. Are you surprised of the opposition to the grace of God in your soul? It's the evidence of another nature, you know. It's the evidence of warfare. They that are with him are called. Called. Wondrous word that is. That's real religion in a word that is. That's the work of God in a moment of time. But then this. You will hear people say, is it necessary to trace the beginnings of things? Do we have to search our minds and go over our past to when the Lord began to do with us? We didn't remember the day of one's birth, naturally. We was born into this world and knowledge and understanding didn't flow into our brain, or our understanding wasn't given to us till we arrived at certain ages. Well, it's not necessary to trace the day you was born naturally, because the growth of one's intelligence was such that you only came into the knowledge of life as the years went on, or the months and years went on. But I have to say this, my friends, I believe this to be so, that the day when one is called may not be known by the hour or the date on the calendar, but it will be known by the effect. It will be known by the effect. I am absolutely sure of that, my friends. And just go back to Saul of Tarsus for a moment. The Lord said to his servant Ananias, directed him to the house, to the street, to the person who owned the house, and there he should find one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. If you, some of you, of course, many of you, will know the essential blessing of the evidence of a birth of a child. And you'll say, well, that's so necessary. If a child is born and it doesn't cry, they'll soon try to make it cry. And the medical profession will say, well, it's to get their lungs working, so that there is an intake of air, and so the heart is working right, and so on. And there's always abundant proofs why a child must cry. So it is in this calling. So it is in this calling. They that are with him are called. And the evidence you'll have is in this. You'll hear a cry. A cry. You'll be taught to cry. You'll be brought to mourn. You'll be brought to know the effect of this calling, the life in the soul, that it will show you things you never saw before, and the effect of those revelations will bring you to cry. You often hear, I expect, those words of one in the scriptures of truth who went to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, and the other one was a called child. My friends, it was the evidence of the calling, because it was the evidence of life. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Those that are called, they that are with him are called, and are brought into this exercise, this evidence of life in their soul, that they know themselves now, perhaps like they've never known themselves before, as fallen, wretched, lost and ruined sinners. And it will bring a cry. Say, why does it bring a cry? Because on the other side of the view of their lost and ruined condition stands a holy and a just and a righteous God. They that are with him are called. But I want to say something else about the calling, which I hope will encourage those that hope in the calling. And that's this. It's an unchangeable calling. It can never be reversed. It can never be reversed, my friends. The dear Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he spoke of this calling, and he said, "For ye see your calling, how that not many wise men after the flesh, but not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." It is not only effectual, my friends, it isn't only a holy calling, it isn't only the authority of God in it, it's an irreversible calling, can never be changed, can never be removed. The blessed hymn writer says, in contemplation of the words of Christ, and the words of Christ, of course, are more effectual, more as the Lord will be pleased to apply them to us. But it is this: "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." Once in Him forever. Thus the eternal covenant runs. None shall pluck thee from the strength of Israel's hand. They that are with Him are called. When God puts His hand to a work, it's forever. You know, in the Psalms we find a word which is often referred to the creation. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And that applies to salvation. And that applies to the calling. He puts His hand to the work, and it begins. And none can overthrow it. None can hinder it. Not all your past sins, or the present sins, or the sins that may come, can possibly overthrow it. Those that are called belong to Jesus Christ, for they that are with Him are called. Satan becomes their enemy, the world becomes a wilderness. Old things must pass away, all things become new, and you're a living child. You're one that God has called out of nature's darkness. You're coming to the pathway of opposition. You're coming to the pathway of temptation. Deeper the tribulation of the way, and the darker the way in which the Lord leads and directs and guides you in the way which leads ultimately to glory, you'll have much to oppose. But nothing can alter this calling. The account of Job in the Word of God, who suffered more than, I suppose one must say, anyone that we've known on the face of the earth, having lost his children, all 10 of them, in a day, having lost his health and strength in a day, having lost his property in a day, from being one of the most richest men of his times, favoured soul, blessed with grace, feared God and eschewed evil, God said of Job, was the subjects of the permissive will of God. Satan touched all that he had, but he couldn't touch his soul, and he couldn't touch that life of God in the soul, because God had put that hedge about him, because God had said, "But touch not his life." What a wondrous mercy, my friends, that these dear ones that are the subjects of the calling are safe in Christ. And whatever comes against them, and I doubt if anybody has a pathway that is so descriptive as Job, but it is that wondrous mercy that goes through it all, that they belong to Christ and they can never be overthrown, and neither can that life of God in the soul be overthrown. You may say, well, I lose sight of it sometimes. It's almost as if it's extinct. But my friends, the mercy is that God hasn't lost sight of it, because he makes a believer, he brings them into life eternal in the new birth, they that are with him are called. But then there's something else, and we come down to this, the essential part of this calling, because in itself it is essential. My friends, it's not a change of heart, it's not a fleshly reformation, it is essential to salvation, this calling. Oh, how essential. A lot of people make a lot of fuss about turning religious and going to this church or that chapel and so on, and they stand on this way and that way in which this church or chapel proclaims what they reckon to believe. My friends, a soul must be a living soul, because it is essential for all eternity. They that are with him are called, and they are called so that they shall be one day found in eternal glory with him. My friends, these souls that are called are in common with all mankind, not only are sinners, but have death before them. Paul said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, it is essential for eternal life and for eternal blessings to know this calling. It's that which makes the difference between a professor and a possessor. It is that which makes a difference between those that go to heaven and those that go to hell. It's the calling, because all those that are called are in Christ, and they that are with him are called. Well, have you got the evidence? Can you trace the evidence of the calling? The day may not matter, the day, but the calling in itself is so essential, this holy calling. I looked at those words in the Gospel speaking of this, and it may sound a bit of a mystery, but it was said, I think it was of Christ, that many are called, but few are chosen. Now we should come to this other part of this text as we go on, but that's not to be confused with this text. They that are with him are called. There's a lot of people who are called Christians today. I would suppose it's the most well used and indeed solemnly misunderstood word, what it is to be a Christian. They that are with him are called. My friends, those that are Christians are those that are called, and are called effectually with a holy calling, are in possession of grace in their soul, that are in possession of an eternal work in their soul. My friends, what it is to be a Christian is not to be religious alone, but it is to have in their heart a work of divine grace. When the Apostle Paul stood before Agrippa and testified to the calling on that Damascus road and spoke of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, those essential truths and doctrines of which the Church of Christ rests upon for their salvation, Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But he hadn't got a calling. He hadn't got a calling. There's no such thing as an almost Christian. My friends, what was lacking was that which was essential unto salvation, and that was a calling. He might have been steeped in the prophecies. I believe he was. He understood these prophecies. He perhaps was a student of the scriptures of truth. But my friends, what was so evidently missing was this calling. They that are with him are called. And there's such an emphasis on the word are, because of the necessity of it, because of the effect of it, because of the essential nature of it, and it's God that calls. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, we must leave the word, the time has gone. But I do believe this, my friends, and sometimes we have to say, a lot of people say that negative evidences, well, they're not as good. But my friends, the evidence of life in the soul is this: when you are concerned, respecting a calling, they that are with him. And these dear saints of God are tried about their calling. They're tried about anything, they're tried about the calling. So you want to, if you notice the temptations of Satan, as it's recorded in the Word of God, or as it's in your own pathway of experience, what does Satan tempt you about? When those two disciples went to Emmaus, they were troubled. They reasoned together of those things which they had heard of and had witnessed, and they didn't understand them. But I've always felt that those words were left on record because of the teaching of the Holy Spirit that's in them. When Satan attacks the Church of Christ, he'll attack them on the foundation truths of which they rest on. He'll attack them on that. And my friends, if you come under the attack of Satan, or the temptation of Satan, or the doubts and fears flow into your heart, it will be upon this ground that he'll attack you on, and that's the calling. Those of you who have gone to chapel all your life and have never left it and wouldn't dream of leaving going to chapel, but are called by divine grace in due time and are brought to be in union and in fellowship with the people of God in the church, they're sometimes tried over the calling. And I've looked at the dear saints of God that have come in out of the world, or the Saul of Tarsus, whose records in the scripture, and they probably said within themselves, if I had such a calling as that, I'd never doubt it. They that are with him are called. And my friends, be not over surprised if Satan begins with you in temptation. He'll begin here on the calling. We shall look at one this afternoon, perhaps, who was the subject of this solemn temptation, and he was attacked in his darkest time over the calling, not of his own calling, but of Christ. But there we must leave it. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Amen.
This morning by singing hymn number 575, the tune is St. Benedict 885. Hymn number 575. Called to see God's righteous law, holy is without a flaw. Called to feel its vengeful power, and to tremble in that hour. Hymn number 575.
Save us, Christ.
to bless thine own word. May it remain on our hearts. May it be the subject of our exercise. Lord, make it straight with thy people. Make it plain. Do forgive and pardon all that's amiss. Prepare us, Lord, for this afternoon. Hear the prayers at the prayer meeting, Lord. Help may be given there, we ask. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit remain with us each, now and always. Amen.